Rocks on it.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a little bit more of a lifestyle episode. There's been a bit of a trend on my social media recently. People are asking me about finding their life path. Should they quit their job? How do they find out what they want to do in life? I'm not sure if it's the timing of people going to college, people finishing exams, or people that are working full-time jobs that are thinking come September, they may do something different. I'm not sure what spawned the pattern on my social media, but I'm going to do a full podcast episode and hopefully provide you guys with a load of value for people that are unsure of what they want to do, and talk through my journey on how I went from, you know, being a primary school teacher to basically doing what I call now a non-job, which is where my lifestyle and my job are one and the same, and I really struggle to differentiate between the two, because I would do what I do for free, and making the videos, podcasts, my social media, all of these things that I do, I would do for free if I won the lotto tomorrow. So I'm going to spend this episode talking about some of the questions that I asked myself that really supported me and really helped me make the jump from teaching into a career in fitness and a passion and doing what I love to do right now. So whether you're 18, 24, or 45, hopefully you guys will get a load of value in this. And if you're somebody that's just wondering, how do I make the switch out of my job to do something that I love? Or if you're kind of like where I was, where you don't hate your job, but you're kind of that in between going, oh, it's fine, it pays the bills, it does what it needs to do, how you can make a jump into something that you would literally tap dance to work. I love the Warren Buffett quote, who's one of the richest men in the world, and he owns Berkshire Hathaway, which owned most of Coca-Cola, and he says that he's 94 years old, I think now, and he tap dances to work every day. He said he loves what he does, and he would do what he does for free, and he just happens to be one of the richest people on the planet because of it. And it's funny, because when you do what you love, the monetary and the money and all of the things that come with providing value to people comes back to you in the law of reciprocity. You know, if you're giving out loads of value and you're helping people, you're going to get financial return from that by a pure byproduct of doing what you love. And I've said it on regular videos before, and I'm using myself because it's your own best example, that if I won the lotto tomorrow, I would still be doing everything that I'm doing. I would be making the podcast, I would be doing the videos, I'd be doing Snapchat Q&As, I would be doing everything I'm doing now. And I'm very, very grateful, and I hold a height of gratitude for being able to live that life. So hopefully the questions that I talk about in this episode may be the first step, or something will resonate or land with you that may be the difference between, you know, living the normal life and being kind of mediocre with what you're doing and making the jump into something that you're more passionate about. Again, this episode is largely for the people that feel incomplete. If you're somebody that's working a 9-to-5 office job and you're on 3 sports teams and you love your life and you love everything that you're doing, you're probably not going to get as much value from this, because you've already won. You've done what fucking everybody else wants to do. It's for anybody else that's unsure on, is there more out of life? Could I be doing more? Could I have more fulfillment? Could I have more health, wealth, love, and happiness, which is largely what I build a lot of my life philosophy on. I have a quadrant in my room at home that has health, wealth, love, and happiness, and I try and max out those 4 quadrants, and I regularly come back to them every 2 or 3 months to see where I'm at. I put health in terms of fitness and recovery strategies, feeling good and enjoying good energy levels. Wealth is my bank account, not having to worry about paying bills. Love is relationships, people that you're either seeing, or your friendships, or my daughter, my mother, people that I have very strong relationships with. And then happiness is like your fulfillment on, is what your job, what you're doing in the life you're living, serving the world and making you feel better about yourself. So I want to spend a lot of today's episode on that fulfillment section. And I've talked on health, wealth, and love in other episodes. So definitely check those out. Okay, so question number 1 is, what did you want to do when you were 14 years old? There's been a lot of studies done on the neuroplasticity of the brain, and that our IQ and our way of being normally reaches its potential around 14 or 15, so that we're actually the person that we become. A lot of that is molded around that time of life. So if you ask yourself the question and look back on when you were 14 or 15, What did you want to do? You know, I know myself, and I'll use myself because you're your own best example. I wanted to play sport. I wanted to play GEA, and I wanted to train in the gym, and I wanted to look better. So basically at the time, so I could impress girls. That's why I started, and I'm sure a lot of other guys will resonate that are listening to this episode. And any girls that are listening, that's why a lot of us guys joined the gym to begin with. I can't speak for everybody, but I can definitely speak on myself on that. But that's what I wanted to do when I was 14 or 15. I wanted to be in fitness. I wanted to be in the gym. I wanted to train. I was doing weights and push-ups and pull-ups and things at home since the age of 12. And I started training with weights at 13. And I was playing GAA at all levels through my club. I was playing with all those development underage teams with Galway. And it was my way that I was at my most happiness. I didn't do that well in secondary school. I definitely didn't peak until I hit the third level education. I had really bad dyspraxia, so my handwriting is dreadful, and that really debilitated me in secondary school. But when I got a laptop and a computer and my ability to present when I went to college, I thrived in that environment. So I was very fortunate that I was allowed to go to third level and showcase that. Again, it's not for everybody, but it works very well for me in terms of confidence building, because I did not do well in secondary school largely because of that. And also my interest was elsewhere, because when you're, whatever you're interested in at 14 or 15, there's a lot of deep-rooted love for whatever that thing is, whether it's music or art or a job or money or numbers or literature or whatever it is. There's a lot of character development in you at that stage. So ask yourself, what did you want to do at 14? I was in that space, and right now I'm so fortunate that I do that living, or do that for a living right now, where I work with GAA athletes and I build their physique and build their conditioning and build their ability on the pitch, so that they're able to be faster, they're able to be stronger and get the body composition that they want. And my other side of my business is all working with people on their body composition, making them healthier, giving them more energy, people that come through my top 50 program, changing their physique. That is what I wanted to do at 14 or 15. I didn't know what it looked like then, but it's what I wanted to do myself. And asking yourself that question can give you that blueprint in terms of what is a good way to start moving and navigating towards in the area of direction of work that you may want to do in the future. Number two then is, what did you grow up around? What was your environment? It's funny, because there's no way around the nature and nurture that obviously genetically you're going to be predisposed to certain ways of being, your temperament, possibly your physique, your interests, maybe down to, you know, genetic factors of your mum and dad, the people that made you, and a lot of it can come down to that. And then there's a large part with nurture, with what you grew up with and in your environment. And again, I'll use my own background as context to this answer, or context to this question. I grew up in a GAA family, and we weren't allowed to play any other sports. I wanted to play soccer so badly, and I wanted to play rugby so badly, but my dad wouldn't let me, because I was playing football. And he was like, if you want to make your county teams and you want to make your club teams and you want to be the best at that, he's like, you've got to focus on one sport and you do that. So I grew up in that area, living and breathing GAA. So it gave me a lot of grounds when I moved my business and did a lot of my programming towards GAA players, because that was me. The program, my GAA Lean Body program, and I'll use that again for context, was the program that I wanted at 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, where you were able to look a certain way and change your body composition so that you look like a fitness model, but you were actually able to get better on the pitch and perform better, and you didn't have to pick whether you wanted to be an athlete or if you wanted to look better. You could combine the two. I also loved fitness and reading about nutrition, and I loved the ability to teach and help people. When I was training and did my undergraduate degree in business, I loved presenting and giving across ideas and my opinions on things that I had found really interesting to me, and that's largely what I do now. So what you've done in the past can mold what you do in the future. You know, I love the quote that your mess is your message, that all the things that you've done up to this point are going to lead you on the right path. You know, a lot of people will look back and go, well, I did a four-year degree in this topic, so I have to work in this area. That's not necessarily true. You know, I did a degree, I did a postgraduate in primary school teaching, and I taught for 4 years. That was my full-time job. And the truth is, my ability to hone my speaking skills in front of a class of 30 people, and then different teachers when they would come and observe you, that allows me to literally do my speeches, my seminars, my appearances off the cuff and answer questions that come at me in every direction, because teach and hone that skill. And now it's just channeled in a different way. It was the same as when I did a business degree. That was my first undergraduate. That allowed me to understand my sales and my marketing, my advertising, and all these different things that have now allowed me to run a successful, or quote unquote, what I think successful business. So all the things you have done, even though they may be channeled in a completely different way at the end, have all served you up to this point. So what did you grow up around? What was in your environment? What did you do to this point that may help you with the thing you love most? And there is a great economic term, it's called a sunk cost, where you spend so much time on something that you feel you need to fulfill it all the way through, you know. And we have a commitment bias in our brain. It's one of the cognitive biases, 25 and all. They're like heuristics, where your brain, your system two, your system one and system two brain, your automatic thought process goes to. And we have a commitment bias where we started something and feel we have to finish it out. Like, for anyone that's ever watched a shitty fucking movie, and it's like, oh, I have to see what happens at the end. That's a cognitive bias in the brain, where you have to fill out the commitment to watch the end of the movie. And when that's channeled in us with a sunk cost of, well, I've spent 4 years doing a degree in fucking food science, I have to work in food. You know, no, you don't. If you love painting, there may be some crossover there. You don't have to use the sunk cost of, well, I spent 4 years in this degree, I have to work in that industry now, because that's not how life works. You get one fucking life. I love the Maya Angelou quote, that you get one life, but if you do it right, once is enough. So ask yourself, what would you do for free? What do you love to do? And then how has your environment sculpted you and molded you so that you can provide the most value and help the most people in whatever that area is, whether that might be music, it might be art, it might be fitness, it might be health, it might be, you know, working voluntary work, whatever that is and whatever that looks like for you, your environment and everything that has happened to you up to this point will support that moving forward. And don't let the sunk cost fallacy or the cognitive bias of commitment, I have to finish this out now because, you know, I'm 2 years into this course, I have to do the third year, or if you've done 4 years of a degree, you have to work in that industry purely because you think you have to follow it through. The truth is, everything that you've done to this point will serve you moving forward. It's just trusting the path, finding out what it is you want to do, and then using all your experiences to this point to help push you forward, whatever that looks like, or whatever that job or life is for you. Number three is, what do other people compliment you on, or what do they tell you you're good at? The truth is, everybody has abilities that they're incredible at. They have their own area of genius. I love the Einstein quote, if you judge a fish's ability to climb a tree, it'll go through its whole life thinking it's stupid. And we're in a time and an age where intelligence is subjective. You know, depending on who you have or who you talk to, people will be like, well, you have a degree from a top school, you're smart. Where those people may have terrible social skills. For example, I'll use myself, people will regularly say very nice things, and people say lots of fucking not nice things as well, but they'll say nice things when I'm able to use reference points about the body and give context to things about nutrition, or your mind's ability to process information, or the muscular system in training, because that's my area of quote-unquote genius that everyone else has. But if you ask me anything about my fucking car, I can barely tell you its color, you know, because I have no area of interest in that, and I know nothing about it. I barely know how to put oil into my car because it's not where my area of interest or my zone of genius is. And that piece of information is contextual to everybody, because everybody has an area that they love and they focus on. I've spoken about in my book, taking control of your thinking time, and I use it in the context of dealing with worry and anxiety, or just a feeling of kind of, what should I do with my life? But taking control of your thinking time, what do you think about most of the time? You know, thoughts become things. So what you're thinking about is what's going to, you're going to project out, and what you're going to get out of life. So if you're spending all of your time thinking about fitness and health and nutrition, and all your spare thinking time is around that, then maybe that's where your area of genius is going to be. The only difference between people that are achieving the things they want to achieve and the people that aren't achieving what they want to achieve is what they spend their spare time thinking about. You know, you can take full control of your thinking time, and the thing that you're already spending your spare time doing about, that you're talking about with your friends every free moment, that's the thing that people are probably going to compliment you on and say, you're really good at that. I remember when I was in college, I was in I did marketing, business and marketing in college. And I remember talking to one of my neighbors at the time. She was a girl a couple of years older than me. And she was asking me about losing body fat. And I was able to rhyme off thermogenesis and your body's ability to raise its core temperature and burn through more calories. And she was complimenting on, why are you doing business? Why are you not doing some form of fitness or health science? You know, because fitness was my passion. And I had this bullshit story that if I went into fitness, I would fall out of love with it because if it became a job, then I wouldn't love it anymore. And there was a fear in me, or that I told myself, that if this is what I was doing every day, I would stop loving it, and then I'd have nothing else to love in life because fitness would be taken away from me. That was the bullshit story I told myself, and was probably a manifestation of fear on what happens if I fail, or what happens if I succeed and I get what I want and I'm not able to deal with it. And the truth is, that was a story I told myself. Your brain is a powerful fucking thing. And if you tell yourself something long enough, you will start to believe that. But ask yourself, what do people constantly compliment you on? Do they compliment you on your clothing? Do they compliment you on your hair? Do they compliment you on the way you train? The movies that you like to watch? Your ability to give back information in books that you've read? What do people compliment you on? Because the truth is, there's a natural curiosity there that if you can channel and hone, you can make a living doing anything in this day and age. We're so fucking fortunate that we have the internet and we have devices in our pocket that can literally access any part of the world at any time. There are people on this planet that get paid to eat chocolate and test out different forms of chocolate. So if you're somebody that wonders, well, I love movies, but I don't know how to make money from it or make a living from it, there are ways. There are people that work for IGN. There are people that start blogs that do movie reviews and then get monetized and paid for their blogs. You can make a living doing anything in this day and age, particularly if you're one of the best and cream always rises to the crop and you have a natural curiosity in that area or in that field. Number four then is, what have you spent the last 10 years doing? And this one ties in a lot on what I've said. The truth is, regardless of what you want to do in life, and I'm using it in the context of a job and a non-job in this episode, but this goes for everything, relationships, fitness, health, everything. What have you spent the last 10 years doing? Because that's going to mold the direction that you take moving forward. And I've talked on myself, and again, I'm using myself and a lot of myself in this episode to give context to the answers, and hopefully they provide value with you and resonate with you. But the truth is, I spent my last 10 years training in a gym every day. For longer, I've been nearly 17 years training. I joined a gym at 16, and that would be nearly 13, 14 years in a gym. And I've been training with weights in my bedroom before that. I've spent the last 10 or 15 years training. I've spent that amount of time consuming information, reading books, more so magazines and consuming information and audiobooks recently on information to do with fitness, health, and nutrition, because that's what I loved. What have you spent the last 10 years doing? Because the truth is, if you find that area of natural curiosity that I spoke about in the last question, if you find that area of curiosity, you're going to be able to hone that, because what you've been spending the last 10 or 15 years doing, or if you're somebody that's 17 or 18 listening to this, what you spend the next 10 years doing can direct and dictate the direction of your life. You know, as I said, thoughts become things, and what the information you put into your head is going to dictate the thoughts that you have, and your thoughts lead to actions, and the actions you take dictate the direction of your life. You can nip that at the source. If you're not happy with the direction of your life in any of those areas that I spoke about at the beginning, health, wealth, love, or happiness, or fulfillment, if you're not happy in any of those areas, what thoughts have you been putting into your head? I've always personally struggled with the relationship side of things, the love side of things, because it's not my natural area. Health, wealth, and fulfillment. Health was something that I was always good with. Wealth, I'm very good with money. I understand business. It was an area that I never really struggled with. Fulfillment and happiness has been down to my helping more people and serving more people over the last few years of my business. But the love side and relationship side was always where I struggled. But I know that the reason that I've struggled with that is because I haven't been putting information into my head and doing the things that were going to end up with the way I want my life to be. So the truth is, you can't complain about not having your best physique or the life or job that you want or money in the bank or a loving partner if you haven't been consuming the information over the last 5, 10, 15 years that are potentially going to support that. You know, I love the quote, if you don't want to slip, don't go to slippery places. You know, you want to find a loving partner, don't go to a fucking club and a bar every Thursday and Friday night and think that you're potentially going to find your soulmate in there. The truth is, you might, and you may be in the small percentage of people that will, but the chances are less likely that you're going to find your relationship partner or your soulmate in a club at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're both fucked. So I can't complain that that area of my life isn't fulfilled right now, because I haven't been living the lifestyle or putting the information into my head that can support me becoming a better version so that I can be a better partner for somebody else. You know, that may look different for you. That may be your health. You may not have the physique you want. You may not have enough money in your bank account. You may not be fulfilled in the job or life that you're doing. That comes down to what you've been doing the last 5, 10 or 15 years, and you can hack that right now. You can use it to your advantage if it's something that you've already been doing, or if you're somebody that's 17, 18 or 19 or 20, you can start to consume that information now that's going to set you on the path for the rest of your life. So regardless of what way you look at that, whether you use the advantages of the things that you've been interested in over the last 10 or 15 years to propel you in a new direction, or you hack it right now and realize that I'm not happy in one of these areas, you start to consume the information and follow the people and read the books that are going to support that envision and have the end goal in mind of the person that you want to be in that area of your life. So number five then is, what do you talk about effortlessly on a Friday or a Saturday night? This one was huge for me personally, because the truth is, the thing you think about most of the time, the thing you love the most in this world, that's not your family or your partner or your children, is probably the area you're going to succeed the most in if you decide to make it your living or make it your career or make it your job. And I spoke at the start of this episode that I'm so grateful, and I have the height of gratitude to be in a position that I would do what I do for free if I had 10 million euro in the bank, because I love how my life and my job and my work are all together and one and the same in terms of the way that I see it. But the truth is, a lot of that comes from finding what it is that you love to talk about and what you love the most, and then building your life around that. One of the most important things that I do with anyone I work with in terms of helping with business or advisory roles or people that ask me questions on social media is, what would you do for free? What do you talk about for free? Because the truth is, you can build a life around the things that you love, and cream normally rises to the top with the people that are the most passionate about the things they're talking about. If you, and I've spoken, I met a friend recently and we went for a walk, and the conversation that came up was that I had no interest in the thing that she did. You know, she was in that makeup space and hair space. And in terms of my general interest, I have no interest in that space. I love fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, psychology, neuroscience, that side of things. But her passion for what she did came across through her, which made me interested in what she was saying. So if you're really passionate about what you're talking about on a Friday or Saturday night, there is a very, very high chance that you can make a living doing that, because all your free time will be spent consuming information that makes you better in that area. And it doesn't matter what that area looks like for you. The truth is, hopefully some of these questions will help you decide what way to take your life. And I can only speak for myself that a lot of it came from me was deciding that, not letting the fear stop me anymore. Like, I love the Arnold Schwarzenegger quote where he says, you can't be paralyzed by fear. And I love the acronym, fear is false evidence appearing real. I had a fear of mixture between a fear of failure and a fear of success. I had the fear of failure, that if I failed, that people would laugh at me, that my parents would think I was a loser. All of these things that your subconscious and your conscious brain will tell you. When the truth is, failure, anytime you fail in life, and if you can re-challenge your brain to realizing that failure is just finding out one way that didn't work, then you are going to succeed in whatever area that looks like for you, whether that's sport, whether that's fitness, whether that's health, whether that's a job, whatever it is. Failing is just one way that didn't work. You know, Thomas Edison spent 9,099 attempts to build a light bulb, and he got it on the 10,000th attempt. And he said that he just found 9,099 ways that didn't work, because that's his positioning of failure. And the truth is, when you don't let that fear of failure stop you, and you don't let the fear of success, what happens if I get it and I can't handle it, which is also a very, very genuine thing and is masked and is normally concealed because you think it's a fear of failure, but sometimes you think that, well, you self-sabotage yourself, that what happens if I get what I want and I can't handle it? What if I get into shape and I can't maintain it? What if people tell me I look amazing and then I can't hold it? What if I get a load of money and I spend it and people think that, you know, I was an idiot for losing all my money? What if I start a business and I fail, or it succeeds and then I can't keep it succeeding? That's a real fear. That's a fear of success. And that is probably going to kill more dreams than the fear of failure ever will, because that one's a lot more fucking subconscious. I can speak for myself that I must have talked myself out of jumping and starting my own business for 2-3 years purely from that fear of failure or that fear of success, which effectively was masked as the fear of failure, that I was like, fuck, what'll happen if I do succeed and I can't handle it? When you can rewire your brain to realizing that there is no such thing as failure, you just found one other way that doesn't work, and you hack that self-sabotage of the fear of success, you can literally go and achieve anything. Okay, and I'm gonna finish out this episode with something that serves me nearly every single day. I love the Charlie Munger quote, step by step we get ahead and not necessarily in fast spurts. And I personally like to use the analogy of building your life, whatever that looks like for you, health, wealth, love, happiness and fulfillment, all the quadrants that I talked about today, regardless of what that looks like for you, I like to think of life like a sculpture and not like a lottery ticket. To build a sculpture, you have to chip away at it every single day, bit by bit. It doesn't matter how slowly or how quickly you do it, you chip away bit by bit. Step by step, you get ahead. It's not like a lottery. Life isn't a fucking lottery. You don't get everything you want by waking up one morning and there being 10 million euro in your bank account. You don't wake up lean and fit because you haven't put in the work. You don't wake up that way. You don't wake up in a loving relationship with people that you trust with your entire life. And you don't wake up serving the world and being in a position that you're able to help more people. You grind at it step by step every single day, and that's how you get ahead. We have a media bias, and again, it's one of these cognitive biases. It's called the availability bias, that when we see people that win the lotto in the news, this is why I don't read the newspaper and I don't consume any news media, you're getting the availability bias. You're seeing the one person that did win the lottery. You didn't see the 10 million or 15 or 20 million people that didn't, because we have an availability bias. And the truth is, anything you want out of life comes with doing it step by step. Getting into incredible shape doesn't happen overnight. Getting money in your bank doesn't happen overnight. Getting into an incredible relationship, building a life that's helping and serving more people, doesn't happen overnight. It happens step by step. But hopefully the question in this episode will massively help you in determining what direction you take your life in that area of fulfillment and happiness. But again, hopefully it'll serve you in the other areas too, health, wealth, and love. And hopefully you guys got a load of value from this episode. So massive thank you for everybody for listening. Again, a little bit different, a lot more lifestyle on this one. For any more information on me, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. You can find me on Snapchat, which is my most active platform at the minute, BrianK019. Definitely follow me on there if you're not following me. And my Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube's all Brian Keen Fitness. Definitely check out my Instagram. I've been putting a lot on Instagram recently, a lot more videos and a lot more Instagram stories. So definitely check me out there, Brian_Keen_Fitness. And again, a massive thank you to Colm over at Voxonic, who puts together all my episodes and edits them for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Catch you guys soon. You can't get enough.